I think because of COVID, I've noticed something in myself, and I think I've noticed it in some of you too, that going out requires a lot more effort than it used to. Anybody feel that way at all? Yeah. Like the habit of going out anywhere is harder than it used to be. I used to, believe it or not, love shopping for groceries. I had to go out this week to get groceries. What a chore. Or going to Canadian Tire and getting some hardware. It was such a great experience for me. I enjoy going to Canadian Tire or Home Hardware or hardware stores. I love going there. I had to go to a hardware store this week, and oh man, what an effort to get there. Visiting friends and doing fun things is just too much work now. We went up to Alliston to play at the Potato Festival, right? And I'm just thinking, do I really want to do it? Like, is this worth it? Sally and I had planned a trip yesterday, which we went on up to Bruce Peninsula for the day. We found a beautiful spot to picnic at, and yet on Friday I'm thinking, well, it's a 2.5-hour drive up and a 2.5-hour drive back, and it takes a lot of effort. I'm not sure I really want to do it. It's easy in life to get into a rut, and as a rut ledge, let me tell you, I know something about ruts. It's easy to get into that lower energy groove. I think we all understand. Just kind of do the same old, make life simple and low energy requirements. Keep doing the same old, same old. And I think COVID has particularly aggravated that characteristic in people. And we've become cloistered. I know some people find it a real effort to get to church. I'm sure there are people who are watching that find it a real effort to get here. Or maybe you found it an effort this morning to get here. Did you have a moment where you thought, is it really worth it? I'll just watch it online, or I won't even bother coming, period. Because watching online has its own energetic challenges. And then we get a song like Fly Like an Eagle, and it's really speaking, I think, about an energetic life. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. Fly like an eagle till I'm free, oh Lord, through the revolution. You know, the eagle has been a symbol of strength and power and awe for many cultures throughout time. It was the symbol of the Roman legions that conquered the world. It was the symbol of countless European nations. Native North Americans worshiped the Thunderbird, which is a take on the eagle. If you look at the West Coast totems, the Thunderbird is almost always at the very top, the pinnacle of power and awe. Many flags and coats of arms have the eagle as the primary symbol. Egypt does, Russia, of course, the United States with its bald eagle. Little Albania in Europe has a power flag in red with a double-headed eagle as its symbol. Tiny little country, but what a power symbol. I remember Sally and I a couple years back, we were climbing a mountain up in northern Ontario, and we were at the top, and all of a sudden this bald eagle went flying right beside us by. Maybe you've had an experience like that. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? Awe-inspiring moment to be up with the eagles. And it's easy to see how people were moved by eagles in their culture and time. And yet my response today to those words in Fly Like an Eagle is, that's just too much energy. Too much energy. Revolution, that's takes too much energy to move decisively with power. Well, where does that power come from for us? My basic response to the lyrics of the song is, yeah, I don't think so. You know, Winston Churchill is considered one of the great leaders of the 20th century. And yet, before he became prime minister in 1940, his political career could be considered a failure. His leadership as head of the British Navy in World War I was a fiasco. During the 1930s, when he was raising concerns about Nazism in Germany, he was a voice in the wilderness. No one listened to him. Even at the beginning of World War II, when he became head of the Navy again, he spearheaded a British-French invasion of Norway that was a military debacle. This guy never gave up, though. Never gave up. failure didn't seem to faze him. It didn't seem to drain him of energy. The amazing thing about Winston Churchill is that he never gave up, and he wouldn't let his country give up either at its time of peril. And I think Churchill's greatest moment in life was in the summer of 1940. He was 65 years old, almost 66 years old. He'd only been for a few weeks prime minister when he replaced Neville Chamberlain. It was a speech he made during the time of British defeat in Europe when they retreated at Dunkirk out of Europe. It's the time when Nazi Germany was conquering France and seemed invincible. He resisted in that moment the calls of those in his country to make peace with Germany. That would have been the easy thing to do, just make peace with Hitler and get back to life, to just make peace with Hitler and get over with this thing of war so we can get back to normal. It would have certainly been the easy path, the less energetic route to take in life. And in fact, the Germans wanted peace with Britain. Britain didn't even have to surrender, just make peace. That's all they had to do, was make peace with Germany, but Churchill would have none of it. Instead, he challenged his nation to step up in energy and meet the crisis of the moment head on. And probably the most powerful expression of this call for an energetic step up was made by Churchill during his speech to the House of Commons on June 4th, 1940. The speech was broadcast on radio to the nation. Every radio in the country was listening as the peoples of Great Britain and the world held their breath. And in the speech, Churchill laid out the situation as it currently existed. And then, nearing the end of his speech, he said these famous words, and I'm not going to imitate him. "We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island. Whatever the cost may be, we shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender." Think about the call to energy in those words. To fight on the seas and oceans, to fight in the air, to defend the island at whatever cost may come, on the beaches to defend the country, in the fields, the streets, and the hills. And for Churchill, it was more than just defending Great Britain, it was defending a way of life, a certain honorable way to live in this world. And all I can think about in my post-COVID mentality is that this would have taken a lot of energy to do. Is there anything in life deserving of that kind of energy? Is there anything in life that deserves our complete commitment, our total dedication? And the question at hand in 1940, in the summer of 1940, was, did Great Britain and the Commonwealth, because we were part of this in Canada, have the endurance to go the whole distance? Could we endure long enough in what seemed like a hopeless situation for victory to be given a chance? And I think the key was endurance, sustained energy over time, the ability to endure, to remain firm in the midst of suffering or misfortune in life without yielding. I think this is a universal question that crosses culture and time. This is the same question that is unfolding in Ukraine today. Does Ukraine have the will to remain firm in the midst of their suffering of misfortune without yielding? Will the support of Western countries like Canada endure long enough to allow Ukraine victory? Same issue is unfolding in Taiwan today. Without the support of the West, and by the West I mean Europe and North America, Japan, Korea, Australia, Taiwan can probably not fend off China forever. Without our support, Taiwan will go under at some point. Do the Taiwanese have the strength to endure? Do we in the West have the strength to endure alongside them, remain firm, even if it entails suffering or misfortune for us? Pretty much everything important in life requires endurance. that is sustained energy over time. This is a great challenge today for an instant gratification society like ours. That sustained effort, that endurance, our willingness to remain firm in the midst of suffering or misfortune without yielding. It's a key characteristic to success in life. The ability to sustain heightened effort, energy over time is a key characteristic for growth. This is true in our relationships with each other. Relationships are hard. They require a lot of work, a certain kind of steadfastness and fortitude, an application of energy and effort. It's so easy to get into ruts with other people and the low energy that goes along with those ruts. Any kind of serious skill acquisition requires endurance. It takes years of dedication to learn something well, the application of sustained effort over time. Think about the 10,000 hour rule that some of us know about. It takes 10,000 hours of effort to learn something, to master it. Even relatively simple things like apartment hunting require endurance today, especially in our very tight market. Our very tight rental market, you know, in our housing crunch that people are experiencing, it requires an incredibly dedicated effort over time to find safe housing. I remember a couple years ago at the beginning of COVID, I was talking to a young couple who were house hunting. House prices were starting to escalate and they wanted to get in before the prices got too high for them. And they put a bid in over that year in 2020 on 30 homes. 30 homes, think about that. And they lost every one. Often they were second place in their bidding, but they were outbid by at least one or more parties, and it became so disheartening for them. I could feel their energy waning and their disappointment. Did they have the capacity to endure, to remain firm in the midst of their suffering or misfortune without yielding? Could they remain firm in their goal of purchasing a home even while experiencing disappointment and frustration along the way? Job searches require that kind of dedication to endurance. Maintaining your health, managing your banking, keeping your home clean and tidy, without endurance, they always fail. And I think the daily grind of life is particularly challenging to maintaining our energy in. You know, the same tasks we do every day, day in and day out, or week in and week out, taking good care of all the little things that make life possible. It's essential to our success in life, but it's hard to do consistently well, isn't it? Keeping your heart open to people, that's hard. It's a tough one. I see people all the time in hard places in my work here, in one form or another. Physical challenges, mental, emotional, social, spiritual. Staying open to people and their needs, staying open to people and their trials is not easy. It's a hard thing to do. You know, as the song says, feed the babies who don't have enough to eat. Shoe the children with no shoes on their feet. House the people living in the street. Oh, there's a revolution. There's a solution. And I say to that, amen, brother. The first children we meet in life, you and I come across, we'll have no problem giving them food and helping them with their hunger. We'll feed them. The second time, we can do it. But what about the 50th time or the 100th time or the 1,000th time? What about the 1,000th time we come across somebody who doesn't have shoes or who's struggling with housing? I got people constantly reaching out to me trying to find housing solutions. I feel exhausted by it. The first person at the door who's ringing the bell for help, we have no problem as a church helping them. The second person, we'll help them too, but what about the 50th or the 100th or the 1,000th person ringing at the door? I just as well they didn't ring, to be honest. And I've been around long enough, and probably you have too, that we've heard all the political promises and speeches made by governments or parties trying to become government. But yet, often, things don't really change on the ground, it seems. Governments get bigger, but nothing really changes in people's lives because the problems are so intractable. They're so hard. They require dedicated solutions over time. They require endurance, something that modern governments don't seem to have. And they don't lend themselves to easy solutions because many of the times the problems we're dealing with in life are rooted in people's sinfulness and their unlove, the choices people make that seem to detract from themselves. And I'm talking about all people here, not just some. The sheer magnitude of the brokenness of the world can just wear you out if you're honest about it. Our compassion just gets worn out in life. We just run out of steam in our care for others. We come to a place where we just can't endure being present in our hearts to other people. We can't live that open-hearted life. And this is exactly what Israel is wondering with respect to God. It's what Isaiah was dealing with Israel in this time. Israel is wondering if what's true about people, people getting worn out in their open-heartedness to life, can happen to God too. Has God come to a place in his exhaustion for his people? They've been grinding in a hard place for a long time. Israel's been grinding in a hard place for a long time, and they've been in a thorn in God's side for God's purposes for them since the beginning. Maybe even God has some limit of endurance. Even the patient and everlasting God can come to a place of exhaustion with people. You know, people today still think that the wrath of God is like God throwing a lightning bolt at you. That's the wrath of God, God's anger. But actually, in the Bible, the wrath of God is more like God coming to a place of exhaustion with you and throwing up his hands and saying, I just can't do it anymore. I'm done. I just don't have the endurance to deal with your nonsense anymore. You're on your own. That's the wrath of God in the Bible. You're on your own. If you want to keep making the same mistake over and over and over and over again, well, have it your way. I'm out of here. If God has given up on Israel or on us, then what's the point? Is there a point even? And here comes Isaiah, the prophet of God. He's coming along and he's saying to Israel, no, it doesn't work that way. What applies to people has nothing to do with God. God doesn't lose track of people or become indifferent to people's circumstances. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? He asks Israel. God doesn't come and go like the world does. God lasts. God endures. God endures all our stupidity and callousness. He's creator of all you can imagine. And he doesn't get tired out, which means he doesn't become exhausted like you or me. He doesn't pause to catch his breath. He knows everything inside out, including you and including me. And not only does God endure, but if we stay connected to God, he will give us his endurance. He will give you his endurance today. His steadfastness, his ability to be sustained in hard places. See, he energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to those who think of giving up. Human endurance has its limitations. Yes, even young people get tired. Even young folk in their prime stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. And it occurs to me that if I'm flagging in life, if I'm exhausted by my circumstances, tired of life even at times, if I'm stumbling about in life, or the circumstances of others are weighing me down, it might be because I'm not sufficiently plugged into God. My exhaustion in life could be a signal to me that I'm not plugged in, and it might be the case with you as well. There have been many times in my life where I've gone to bed and forgotten to plug in my phone. And those of you who have cell phones may understand this. I usually plug it in at night to get recharged, but there are times when I forget to do it. And I get up in the morning and I got almost no power here, or I got none in the phone's dead, completely exhausted. So my phone's not going to work very well the next day. When you have a phone that's almost depleted or completely depleted, what do in that moment? You plug it in. That's the solution to when our battery is low in power or completely discharged. We plug it into the power source. Simple. As human beings, we seem to have some innate natural ability to recharge our capacity, but considering the kinds of energetic challenges in life that we face, we need to be constantly being supercharged. We need a power source that can powerfully recharge our systems. And Isaiah is telling Israel today, well, you need to plug into God. Otherwise, you're going to get overwhelmed by your life circumstances. Plug in, or you're going to have to retreat from the neediness of the world. And of course, for those of us who are called to follow Christ, we're not given the commission to retreat from the neediness of the world. That's not our vocation in life. It wasn't Israel, and it's not ours either. But we could do that as a way of trying to deal with our energy challenges. If we don't plug in, we're going to find ourselves constantly exhausted by the energetic needs of life, of a life of love. We'll find that this life of love that we're called to is beyond our human capacity to endure. Why? Because people and their situations are constantly going to be draining us down like a powerful app on our phones. And what God is asking us today to do is to plug into the spiritual source of life, which is Himself. Plug into me, God says, and be recharged. Plug into me today and be recharged. That flow of energy, of spirit, wants to come into us. And it's not a hard thing to do to plug in. You know, plugging your phone into the battery charger through a cable, that's not a hard thing to do, really, when you think about it. And plugging into God is actually an easy thing to do for us. It's not a hard thing to do for us today. It just starts with a few minutes of prayer every day. Just take a few minutes to pray. Every day. And maybe take a few moments through the day to meditate on a scripture passage. You can get an app on your phone that will give you a scripture passage to think about every day to meditate on. Just a couple of times during the day, just meditate on that scripture passage, and you'll find that something starts to change in you. Perhaps use a daily lesson book like some of us do, like The Upper Room, or for some of us, we use My Utmost. Keep the practice simple, though, is the key. Keep it simple and keep doing it over and over again. The practice of an enduring connection with God is going to allow a flow of energy into your life. And if you find yourself exhausted by life, it probably means you've simply been not plugging into God enough. And that's the test. That's the signal. When you're exhausted by life, it just means to plug into the source. In the same way, if your phone's down and needs to be recharged, you just simply plug it into the wall outlet, into your charger. And what you're going to find at some point is that your inner life is going to be recharged, and you're going to find that you have the energy of an eagle. And you're going to be able to fly with power to situations in life. You're going to be able to fly with a sense of conviction into the tough places and difficult places of life that you see around you. You'll have the energy to deal with them, those tough places that God calls you into. You're going to have the energy to deal with them. Hallelujah. It's right here for us. You know, Sally and I did end up going up to the Bruce yesterday. We had a lovely time. When I left, I had no energy. I was exhausted. When I came back, I was recharged. It was partly the scenery I was in, being by the water and having Sally's company. We had really deep, powerful conversations there and back, too, that was liberating. But in the midst of it all, there was a time of prayer and meditation for me. And God blessed me with coming back with energy. God blessed me with energy, and God blesses you today if you just plug